the All Things XR podcast. Where you can get the best AR/VR analyzers from the biggest names in the field. Hi everyone, welcome to the All Things XR podcast, I'm Mojtaba. In today's episode, we talk about AR and wearables with Stefan Alexander, VP of Advanced R&D at Focals by North. Hi Stefan.
Hey there, how are you doing?
Thanks very much, welcome to the All Things XR podcast. Can you tell us more about yourself and your background and how you got started at North?
So before North, I was actually working at an OLED display startup. So we were doing technology to make OLED displays more uniform and last longer. And when that, when I was kind of looking for what to do next after that, I was really excited at what North was doing. Back then, it was called Thalmic Labs. They were working on the Mayo, so it was a gesture-controlled armband. And I really loved developing fundamental technology, especially display technology, but I wanted to do it for a company that could launch its own products based on that technology. So even, this was 6 years ago, they were still working on the Mayo, on the armband. It was still about a year away from launch, but they really wanted a long-term R&D program to try to make smart glasses. And even from the very beginning, the goal was we want to make smart glasses that are the same size as a regular pair of glasses because we think that this is the kind of future of wearable computing. The gesture control armband was one step along the way, but they had always wanted to get to smart glasses. So I was the first person they hired to work on that project. I started working on the display technology since that's my background, and it kind of evolved into the Focals product.
Great. Can you discuss Focals by North and where the smart glasses industry currently stands?
So yeah, the way that I kind of see technology right now in the kind of augmented reality space, there is a lot of focus on augmented reality overlays. So this is things where you can put a 3D wide field of view and kind of perfectly registered images. So the computer-generated images can kind of perfectly blend into and almost look like they're part of your environment and be kind of registered and locked to real-world objects. And that is a really neat visual experience. And it's what a lot of people think of when they think of augmented reality. And we are, but you know, it results in a very large headset right now. It's pretty big. You know, often they need either kind of a big headset or it's kind of a belt pack. It takes a lot of power and it just doesn't look like regular glasses. And we think that something really, really neat happens when you can wear a product all day, when it looks like regular glasses, when it feels like glasses, when it corrects for your vision like regular glasses, when there's kind of no compromises to wear it. So even though you don't get all of the functionality and especially the visual functionality with the overlays, we think that, you know, for augmented reality, when you are looking at, when you want to improve and enhance your experience of interacting with the real world, it's a pretty amazing experience to be able to wear something all day and have just little bits and pieces of, you know, data and messaging with people and just, you know, information on what's around you and what's in front of you pop up. So that's what we're really focusing on, is the all-day aspect of augmented reality instead of the overlays aspect.
So who's the target customer for Focals?
So, you know, we're very strongly a consumer company. We love some enterprise use cases for sure, but we're not exclusively focused on enterprise. We really want something where people can wear this and use this all day. So generally, this is a consumer who is really interested in staying on top of all of their information and staying connected, but doesn't necessarily want to be constantly pulling their phone out. They're talking with somebody else or they're walking down the street. And they have to make a decision right now. Do I pay attention to what's in front of me? Do I pay attention to this person? Or do I check this notification? I don't know if I'm missing something important, but I also don't want to, you know, make this person think that I'm rude by checking my phone. And I want to check this message from somebody because maybe it's about where we're just going to meet with them, but I'm kind of walking down the street. I don't really want to pull my phone out. It's not, you know, safe to walk and
exactly.
Look at my phone at the same time. So am I going to stop? Am I going to like go off to the side? Am I going to like try to half look at my phone? So there's people that really care about their experience of the real world and what they're doing. And they want that experience of the digital world too, but they don't necessarily want to do one or the other. So something where it's a little more seamlessly blended, where these people can stay on top of their life, but they can feel like they're also very present and, you know, not really taking their attention off what's in front of them. People like that tend to really, really connect with this product. And, you know, as we start to add more features and the product line gets more capabilities in future generations, I think more and more people will see more and more value like that.
Mm-hmm. And also safety, right? The number of accidents caused by texting while driving is extremely high.
That's right. Yeah. And I think the right answer for this kind of thing, you know, if we do enough tests and proper development and certifications, we can maybe show maps or, you know, maps and kind of an overlay there. I think when you're driving with text messaging, that's still probably not a great experience on the glasses. Right now in the version one, the glasses detect if you're driving and they'll actually turn off. They'll only show the time, but we won't show any other thing, even if you get a notification, because it's just, you know, even reading them on the glasses is probably not safe. But there is some experiences like maps and things like that, that I think with enough testing, we can make it safe.
Mm-hmm. That's a smart move. So, Stefan, when we talk about the smart glasses, usually the thing that comes first to mind is Google Glass. And as we know, despite Google trying to make it popular, the project failed. What's different and why you think smart glasses have a chance this time?
So we have kind of a set of criteria that we have figured out over a long period of time that lets us know that this is a product that somebody is going to wear all day and feel comfortable with. And it's not enough to just be light. It's not enough to just look like regular glasses. There's actually a lot of things. For example, it can't have anything extra in front of the eye. So, I mean, Google Glass was a very neat technology and a really neat product, but it always looked like something different where there was that extra combiner and piece in front of the eye. So, of course, we really wanted to integrate that into the lens itself. We want to have one piece. It looks just like a normal prescription lens. It can correct for your vision perfectly, just like a normal prescription lens. But it has a completely transparent combiner built into the middle there. In generation one, it was a hologram. In generation two, we have a slightly more advanced technology we're using for that. But it's still the same thing where it's just looks and acts like a prescription lens, but does this computer-generated overlay on top of there. And we think that you know, looking just like regular glasses, even though it's not built anything like regular glasses, but somebody should feel like they're not making a compromise. They go to the optician and they want a pair of glasses or they want a pair of sunglasses, and they can choose regular glasses or they can choose smart glasses. And that's going to be a really kind of compelling thing that's going to happen in the next few years where consumers are going to be faced with that choice. And we think that is the bar for something that somebody's going to wear all day, where there's really very little choice. There's little decision anymore. It doesn't feel like a head-mounted display. It just feels like your pair of glasses.
Exactly. So, Stefan, working in AR and VR is hard enough, but working on AR on hardware side adds so much more complexity to it. What are the main challenges and how do you plan to solve them?
That, you know, there's challenges in a lot of different areas for sure. Some things are let me talk about a couple of the things that are much, much harder than we expected and then kind of took a huge chunk of the time.
Sure.
So if you want smart glasses, and they're really, really small, you can't just use pieces from the cell phone industry. So that's one of the major issues. You'd think, you know, we'll just, like, the cell phones are great.
Yeah.
We'll just stick in a mobile processor, and we'll stick in that memory, and we'll stick in those communications chips. And when you look at them, they're too big and they use too much power. The power budget for a smartphone is about 10 times higher than for smart glasses.
Yeah, you won't believe it. There are tutorials on YouTube on how to make these.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you want something bigger like a headset, that's fine. And those are good products, and you can put cell phone parts in them. But for us, we can't. So there's not, most of the time, we have to have custom parts or use parts in unusual ways. We have very close relationships with suppliers, and they customize a lot of parts for us. We also make our own custom chips where we have to, because you just can't get what you need, because, you know, as far as I know right now, we're kind of the only ones trying to do this size of smart glasses. So the development is very long, and it takes a long time, because you just have to make a lot of your own parts. And nowhere is this more complicated than with the display. So if we were using something that was a bigger headset, there's companies right now that are offering pretty neat display modules, liquid crystal on silicon or DLP, or OLED display modules. And you can buy these display modules, and you can integrate them into your product, and they can look pretty good. But for us, they were just too big. They were too big, and they weren't bright enough. And the only thing that met our requirements was a scanning laser display with a tiny scanning micromirror. And these can be incredibly small, very, very, very small, but also very bright, and very power efficient. But you can't just buy them. You have to basically build and design them yourself, and you have to make your own chip if you want to do that. And the costs and timeline for that is very long, but that's why we were very committed to that vision of what it takes to do a real small pair of glasses. So that's what we did. So, you know, we kind of had to develop our own display technology. It's one thing to make a prototype of display technology, that's hard enough, but to bring it to production in high volume is also a pretty big task. So you're kind of going against the flow of what a lot of other people are doing right now. And thankfully, we have a lot of suppliers who are they're great partners. They love working with us, but they also believe, like us, they believe in our vision of what smart glasses are going to be. So they believe this is going to be a huge industry like we do. So they're willing to support us and make a lot of custom parts for us, which is good. It's just, you have to do that work. And I think, so that's one really hard part in all the hardware. I think the other hard part of glasses is when you want something that looks just like regular glasses, it also has to fit like regular glasses. And you go into the glasses store, not every frame looks good on you. In fact, you're gonna go in there and maybe talk to a couple of people, and they're gonna say, okay, go in this section. These frames are gonna look good on you, but don't worry about these ones. Those are gonna be too small. Those are gonna be too big for you. I think your face shape, you need a more round, or you need more square. And so in order to have something that looks good and feels good and fits on somebody's head, you can't make one product. You have to make at least several products, several sizes, several styles, several colors, because people want something that's going to look good and feel good, but they also want something that's going to reflect their individual style and make them look good. And if you have one big chunky pair of glasses, if somebody really, really wants augmented reality, they're going to wear that. But if somebody's on the fence and they're like, I wonder if I should try smart glasses or regular glasses, then you don't want people to have to make a decision between something fashionable and then some feature like that. So that making them fit and really making that level of adjustability and making them fashionable and actually look good and feel good, it's a lot of, you know, a huge database of custom 3D head scans that we do, a lot of virtual try-ons, a lot of trying things on in person. We have a whole fitting and sizing team working with the mechanical team just to make everything look and feel good. And that's a huge amount of work that you have to go into for something like this.
Yeah, I see. So as you head into the launch of Workhouse 2, Can you discuss what lessons you learned from the first generation?
Yeah, and it was so great to be able to launch the first generation, have people buying our product, have people using our product, and we could talk to them on a regular basis about how they were using it, what did they love about it, and what did they want to be different. And one of the things that they loved is just the messaging, the ability to stay connected to people, mm-hmm. the fact that they would forget that they're wearing the glasses, and then a message would pop up from their partner or from one of their kids or from one of their friends. And they're just like, this is so neat to just be able to see this because I'm still walking or I'm still in this meeting talking. And now I can see that message and in a meeting and, oh, yeah, I have this other meeting right now. And that calendar appointment pops up. So, you know, that's there. So they loved getting the spontaneous notifications. The other thing that they liked is we had a home screen. So we have a ring that controls it. So it's very subtle. Your hand can be kind of down by your side mm-hmm. and you can still control the glasses. And when you start the glasses and you just click the button, it comes up with a home screen. So it has the time, it'll have a bit on the weather, and it'll guess a few of the things that you might want on there. So if you have a flight booked and you're at an airport, then it'll actually give you a bunch of flight information on there. If you have a meeting coming up or an appointment, it'll show you where your next meeting or appointment is. If you mm-hmm. happen to be playing some music, like maybe you're playing Spotify, it'll actually show you what the song is. And so we have these kind of cards that appear on the home screen that kind of guess what you want. And people loved it when we guessed right, when they uh-huh. started the glasses, and about half the time when they started up the glasses on their own, they loved it when we guessed right. What they wanted was on the home screen and it could go away. So one of the, like on the applications, what we really tried to give to people is more of those notifications where the glasses just prompts you at the right time with the right information. Or if you do want information and you start up the glasses, what people want is they want the glasses to guess what they want. They want it to be as fast as possible. They don't want to necessarily scroll through a big long menu and choose what application they want to launch. They want it as fast as possible. So that's one thing that everyone loved that we really tried to double down on. What people didn't like, and so these are some of the things they addressed, I think it was the most fashionable and lightest pair of smart glasses on the market.
Yeah.
But I still don't think it was quite small enough. I don't think it was quite light enough. And the Temple arms were still a little bit big. And for a lot of people, that trade-off was worth it, and that's good. But for a lot of other people, they're like, if I want smart glasses, these are the ones I'm going to choose, but they still don't look exactly like my regular glasses. So we actually made the Temple arms for the Generation 2 almost half the size. We got them down to about 40% of the size. We also managed to improve the resolution by a lot. So this was like, I think, 8 or 9 times higher resolution. So we could fit a lot more pixels on the screen with kind of some new optics technology. And then the third major thing that people loved going in and getting their head scanned and being able to get a custom fit pair of glasses, but they didn't like if they couldn't access that store. So obviously it was, you know, if you were in a location where we had a store or kind of a mobile sizing truck, that you could go get sized for it. But sometimes people wanted to buy it and they couldn't. So we actually did start our home sizing program with an app where you could kind of scan your head. We kind of developed that technology. But the other thing with this precise fit that the Generation 1 needed is people love their glasses and they would talk to their friends about it. And their friends would say, that's so neat. Can I see? And if you took off the glasses and put them on somebody else, they often couldn't see the display because it wasn't uh-huh. perfectly fit. So it was hard for them to share the experience and to get to know what it was. And if you wanted it to work, you'd have to kind of go into a store. They'd find the right size for you. They'd give you a perfect demo, but not every glasses would work on every person. So now one of the things we addressed in the Gen 2 is if you can fit the glasses on your face, you can see the display. So we managed to resolve that. So it you know, you still maybe want to choose the right size so that it fits well, but it's just a matter of picking one of two or three sizes and the shapes that you like, and you can try them on your face. And if you can fit them on your face, then you can see the display and you can easily pass them to somebody else, and a bunch of people can try them and everyone can see it. So that's that sharing is something that we addressed with the technical reason is a bigger eye box. So the optics of the display allow for you to see the display kind of no matter where your eye is in the, you know, kind of behind the lens of the glasses. But to the person, they're just like, they don't even have to know that. They just notice it works. They put it on and it just works. Uh-huh. So those are the major things that we addressed for the Generation 2.
Great. Sounds interesting. So, Stefan, different companies choose different approaches, and we are obviously in the earlier stages of smart glasses. What do you think about other companies' approaches, such as Snapfit, Snaps Spectacles?
So I think this is just such a great time to be in augmented reality. And I'm passionate about this product, but I'm also passionate about developing technology and kind of solving these fundamental technology problems and figuring out ways to make this work. And the great thing is, right now, there's a lot of different products, but I actually feel there's very little competition. Mm-hmm. Everybody is trying to do something very different, and nobody's really quite sure if the people looking outside are not quite sure which one is going to win. And so you have things like, I call them like semi-smart glasses, right? Uh-huh. So things like Snap Spectacles, or things like the Bose glasses that have the audio, or Amazon has some glasses that they released that just have Alexa in them, and that's it. And these are, people are really interested in these kind of glasses. It's, you know, no display, but there's still some neat smart functionality. And then we have something a little more like what we're trying to do, and we can actually fit a display in there, so you can have bits of information, and it can have an awareness of the world in front of you and of kind of what you're doing, and kind of provide some more value there. And then you have kind of slowly bigger and bigger headsets. The Nreal still, you know, kind of small, but still kind of a headset, and it's tethered. Yeah. But that looks like a really neat product and maybe a really neat price. I'm looking forward to trying that one. And then you have, you know, the HoloLens and the Magic Leap 1 at kind of the larger end of the spectrum there. But they're all different things. I mean, the HoloLens really started, HoloLens 2 very focused on business applications, and they really know what they're doing with it. And then Magic Leap 1 really started with a lot of consumer applications. So it was a lot of really neat immersive experiences for augmented reality. Mm-hmm. So everybody's, and there's a bunch of other, you know, business applications and everything too. So everybody's trying for something different, different types of styles, different markets, different use cases, and everybody's trying to figure out what is, you know, what do consumers and businesses and enterprises, what do they really want out of an AR headset? And it's always such an exciting time to be doing this, because everybody's pretty open. It's not clear who you're really competing with. It's not clear what technology is going to win. And so you can do all of this incredible fundamental work where you can really question everything. And if a company or a person, if you kind of come up with something that is really neat and compelling, then that can actually completely change the industry, because nobody quite knows the right answer yet. Whereas I think if a small company started up right now and they wanted to make like an incredible cell phone, I think it would be very hard for them to disrupt the industry. I think it would be very hard for them to even get funding if they said, we have this great idea for a new type of cell phone. And it's such a mature industry. The players are already set. Everyone already knows what's going to win. Whereas it's kind of like a new frontier for augmented reality right now. And so it kind of right now, everything is possible.
Yeah, I totally agree. How do you believe smart glasses will impact consumers?
I think, what I'd love to see, everybody wants to use them in a slightly different way. Mm-hmm. But what I'd really love for people to start to feel is that, you know, they have their phone with them and they can do so much with their phone right now, but they almost feel like, you know how you feel right now when you need to just check something quick on your phone or send a quick email, but sometimes you actually have to take out your laptop. So you're like, okay, now I'm doing serious work. I'm not just checking something quick. I'm going to take out my laptop. I'm going to do serious work right now. And I think what I'd love is if for the little checking of notifications, for seeing quick experiences in front of you, I can't share too much, but we have some really neat new experiences based on some new hardware and sensors that are coming up in Focals V2. And people are going to be able to have these little very useful but very magical experiences, but they're going to be really quick and they're going to get back to their day. And I think I'd love it if people could feel like their smart glasses was just such a part of them, and when they had to take out their phone,
yeah,
it was like how we feel about taking out your laptop. It's like, okay, well, now I need to do kind of something serious. I need to do something bigger. I need to take myself out of the moment I'm in and I need to check my phone for a little bit. But what if we could reduce that amount of time? And it's not exactly about purely checking your phone less, but it's about you can feel like you're constantly present in the environment in front of you, and you can just feel like you're interrupted less, but you're not worried about missing anything or kind of staying on top of some important information. So, you know, more and more of that kind of feeling, I think that would be kind of a big win for us to feel that.
Yeah. Who do you believe will adopt smart glasses first?
I think people who are really, you know, there has to be a few different things right now, because especially it's very early. So people have to know about smart glasses. They have to know that this is possible. When we show these to people for the first time or when we walk around with them, a lot of people are just so surprised that they exist. So it's going to be a period of time for most consumers to even learn that this is a possibility. And they're going to go and they're going to go to a place where they would buy eyeglasses because they want, you know, a pair of sunglasses, or they need a new prescription. And they're going to say, this is amazing. I didn't know that I could buy smart glasses. This is neat. Why would I want to buy these? And when you look at what people can do with them, and when people start to understand, okay, so I can stay on top of my information and I can just see messages in my field of view, and I can just kind of click on something with the smart glasses and it'll come up with the information I want. People who value that sort of thing right now, people who get a lot of messages, people who often feel like they're distracted, people who feel like, I'm checking my phone too much, but I'm afraid if I stop checking it, I'm going to miss something. And, you know, I already missed a message from my daughter yesterday, and I kind of missed this appointment because I wasn't checking my phone because I was talking with somebody. And, you know, people who feel that struggle. So consumers both have to be aware of it. And that's just going to happen over time as more and more people are able to share this. And, you know, it's going to be sold in more and more places. But also, people have to see the value in that, too. The glasses have to look great, but they have to be able to do something useful for them. And at the beginning, it's going to be people that really, really care about staying present, and people who really care about almost having the secret superpower. Mm-hmm. The secret superpower where you have information and somehow this person seems like they're always on top of things, but they also seem like, I don't understand, like you're never checking your phone, but you're always relaxed and you think you're this person is just kind of confident and on top of everything. And people who are kind of really craving that, almost like that secret advantage or that that superpower, I think that's going to be really compelling for people.
Yeah, sure. So what can we expect in regard to a timeline for Focals 2?
They should still be coming by the end of 2020. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometime throughout 2020, we'll be revealing more and more information about them. And there will be opportunities maybe for people to try them, for people to review them. So, you know, we're not talking about exactly what we're going to do with the rollout and the launch, but there's definitely going to be a lot more information between now and between the time when we launch. And, you know, people should definitely stay tuned. And every month or two, there will be some new information that will come out.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So are there any plans for Nurse to jump into the MR category?
So for sure, we've talked about it. And 3D or wide field of view overlays registered in your environment is very compelling. We've been prototyping it for a while. The thing that is so important to us right now is that people wear these all day. When you can wear something all day, it is an amazing experience because you can get unexpected and useful experiences, and it can just be so fast. So I think there's a spectrum of giving your glasses awareness of the environment in front of you. And it's not, there's not this step function from no awareness and then moving into perfect registration like you'd get on the HoloLens, for example. I think it's a spectrum. And what we're seeing is adding that over time, adding more and more value, you know, doing slight amounts of registration, being able to move the display around a little bit, being able to kind of like, you know, show some information on what some objects are, but always keeping in mind, we only want to, this is a form factor first product, so we only want to add things if we can fit them into a regular glasses form factor that are still going to last all day. And I think before you get that full functionality, I still think that's at least 5, probably more like 10 years away, because we're not seeing the technology that puts it into smart glasses. Again, yeah. This is still, some of the stuff is still 10 times, 50 times, 100 times too much power for the power budget that we have. And so we'll only add that. We'll only be adding things when they provide huge value to the consumers, but also when they fit into smart glasses.
Mm-hmm. Can't agree more with that approach. So, Stefan, what do you think about the future of smart glasses? And what do you think about AR contact lenses such as Mojo Vision?
So there's definitely a lot of exciting stuff coming. I think with smart glasses, what you'll see is like with smartphones. I think it'll be kind of a very similar adoption or with smartwatches. And, you know, at the beginning, people had cell phones and they made phone calls. Mm-hmm. And what happened is people start, you know, the general public started to go into these carrier stores, right, for the cell phone carriers. And they saw these new smartphones there. And it really wasn't a phone at all. It did happen to make phone calls, but it was really a portable computer. And that was amazing. But they sold it alongside the smartphones, like alongside the kind of feature phones, smartphones and feature phones, but in the same store. And then eventually, pretty much all phones were smartphones, the majority of them that are sold right now. And I think you'll see the same thing in smart glasses. You'll go into the store and, you know, a few stores will be like, look, we have these smart glasses. Uh-huh. They are just like regular glasses. They correct your vision, but it's really a whole wearable computer that you can do. And I think eventually you'll see a very large proportion of the glasses that are being sold are going to start to be smart glasses because people are going to feel like this is very, very compelling. And, you know, when it comes to things like contact lenses, for sure, that is a really, really interesting application. I think it's trickier for a few reasons right now. One is not everyone can even wear regular contacts right now. So, you know, contacts exist and they're great, but also a lot of people still have glasses, even though contacts exist, because some people prefer glasses, some people can't wear them, some people find contacts uncomfortable.
Yeah, that includes me.
I'm the same way too. I tried for years to wear them, and eventually I just went back to glasses because I could never find ones that were comfortable enough. But, you know, some people love their contacts and that's great. I think the other big issue with contacts is something. So, you know, we've looked a little bit into the technology for this and kind of what it would take. And, you know, I wonder, should we be doing contact lenses? This is like, you know, part of my job leading the advanced R&D group is to look into new technologies. And I think the really hard things about contacts are when you have it in your eye, it's very hard to have a display that close to your eye. There are some optical principles that make it much harder. So when it's a few millimeters away from your eye and you're kind of like looking at the contact lens, but it's not in your eye, you can kind of form a good image there. When it's actually in your eye, it becomes a lot harder and it actually becomes a little bit blurrier. So solving that problem is one of the really big ones too. The other really big the other really big problem with contact lenses that if you look at a smart contact lens, you can see the image, but it doesn't necessarily work in your eye, is because with smart glasses, as your eye is moving around, the image is still fixed because it's on the lens.
Yeah.
But with smart glasses, every time your eye moves, the contact lens has to track how your eye has moved, and it has to move the image around. Otherwise, as your eye moves around, as it's scanning all over the place, the image is going to jump around all over the place, and you'll never be able to look at it. So there's all of this inertial eye tracking and display movement involved, and it has to be very, very, very fast because the eye moves very quickly. So there's a lot of kind of, you know, putting a display in a contact lens is a huge achievement and it's great, but there's a lot of other very, very hard problems that solve before people will be wearing them. And I think these are not simple problems. These are classically very, very hard problems that so far I haven't seen demonstrated yet. So I think it's an exciting technology sometime in the future, but I think it'll be a while before we see these ready.
Yeah, sure. So, Stefan, obviously, we all believe that AR and smart glasses are the next big thing, and big players also work on them. Regarding these big players like Oculus, Magic Leap, Snap, etc., who do you think has the best chance?
That's a great question. Everybody is, you know, every company is working on something slightly different. They have a slightly different goal, and their DNA is different too. If you look at Apple and their DNA and what they'd want to make, they would just make a very different product than Facebook would make. Because they prioritize different things. And Snap would also need to make a very different product for a different group of people. And, you know, if Microsoft decided to make a pair of glasses along with the HoloLens, they would make something different too. And so, I mean, one of the things is, you know, what is a company's DNA and what kind of product do they have to make as a corporation? I mean, Google Glass was very much a Google-type product. It was the type of product that Google would make. And, you know, they can't necessarily make other kinds of products. And so I think that that's one aspect. And the other aspect to look at this through is, you know, what is a company's capabilities? And even very, very large software companies can get very, very good at hardware. But the type of hardware that a company like Snap is going to make is just, they're going to put different ingredients into it and prioritize different things than a company like Apple is going to develop hardware. And, you know, people just, you know, different companies have different hardware capabilities to put in there. And right now the hardware is still very early days. It's not a mature industry. So the amount of kind of effort and creativity and kind of first principles thinking that goes into the hardware makes a difference. So all of that is to say, I actually have a hard time guessing who would be successful. I think everybody's trying to do something so different. Everybody's using such different ingredients that I would have a hard time knowing what's going to be successful, other than our product, which I think we have the right ingredients and the right hardware, of course.
Yeah, of course. So, Stefan, what do you think about the future of AR and VR?
I think that AR is destined to be the next computing platform. So I think people are using their phone now. I think people are going to be using their phone for quite a while. Things need to be exactly like regular glasses, and the performance of an augmented reality system has to be way in advance of even what the best AR headset can do today. Mm-hmm. And so it has to not only improve in functionality, but it has to get down and look exactly like regular glasses. And I think when that does, the advantages of just having 3D sensing and spatial positioning and computer vision and being able to recognize objects in your environment and being able to put displays everywhere you want, this future vision is very compelling. And ultimately, of course, augmented reality and virtual reality can be the same thing with the same hardware. The glasses can be transparent or the glasses can darken, and that can be the same thing. So, in terms of the long-term vision, really, every company is trying to build the same thing. I think every company has about the same 20-year roadmap that's working on this. It's just everybody has a very different path on what they think the Generation 2 and Generation 3 and Generation 4 is going to be. But I think everyone's kind of Generation 12 of this looks maybe about the same.
Well, Stefan, it was a pleasure to have you on All Things XR Podcast. Thanks very much.
Yeah, likewise. It was great talking to you. Thank you.